Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'll be reflecting on Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. So baptism, well, it's something that John offered, and it's something that Jesus underwent and something his disciples are told to do. It's something to do with water and washing and sin. But what is it actually? What are we doing? What are we declaring? Who are we becoming when we are baptized? What does it all mean? Tonight's story offers a few clues, but to explore the depths we'll need to zoom out. A few weeks ago, we heard about John the Baptizer, when Tiberius was emperor and Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod was ruler of Galilee, and Annas and Caiaphas fulfilled the office of high priest. At that time, John was preaching far away from the centers of power. Crowds of sinners, vipers, tax collectors, and soldiers came to the wilderness to hear him and to be baptized by him in the River Jordan. They were submerged in the water, which symbolically washed away their sin and the ways they clung to it. They came up, renewed and ready to live differently, ready to share what they had. If you have two coats, give away one. They were ready to take only what they needed. If you're a soldier, be content with your wages. And they were ready to reject the violent economics and politics of empire. And it's into this scene that we find Jesus. Now, earlier in the Gospel, Luke had already established that Jesus is holy and favoured by God. But here he is now seeking John's baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins and standing in line with all the other sinners. His turn comes, he's baptized, he prays, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven declares, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and in you I am delighted." So Luke opens his story by listing the powers that be. Then he shifts to the rabble in the wilderness, and then in the middle of things, reminds us that Herod arrests John for speaking out against him. And only then do we see Jesus baptized. Through this structure, Luke is reminding us that all around John, Jesus, and the rabble sees the chaos and the violence of empire. They cannot escape it. Kings arrest holy men. Roman soldiers rape and pillage. Taxes cripple the countryside and dead slaves are hauled off to market. And poor, sick, broken, messy people are excluded from religious life. And Jesus is baptized. Now, the description of his baptism has some interesting details. A dove and the Beloved, this strange title. The first is an allusion to the story of Noah. When towards the end of his ordeal, Noah releases a dove from the ark. It returns with an olive branch, and with it the message that despite the chaos, despite the flood waters, all will be well. The waters are receding and life is beginning again. The second interesting detail refers to Psalm 2, where the Beloved is a king called to save God's people from the raging violence of surrounding nations. And it also refers to Isaiah 42, where the Beloved is a suffering servant, the Messiah called to save the people from their sin and suffering, but only at the servant's great personal cost. All around John, Jesus, and the rabble see the chaos and violence of empire. They cannot escape it. So the signs in the baptismal story are both warning and promise. Being God's beloved is no protection against suffering, and in fact may lead to great self-sacrifice for the sake of others. While the dove declares that despite the chaos, despite the deluge, all will be well, and life will begin again. God's love will endure through everything, even suffering, even death. And so here we have Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection in a nutshell. So Jesus' baptism foreshadows everything. It's located among so-called sinners who are seeking an alternative to the violent economics and politics of empire. His baptism rejects sin, fills him with the Holy Spirit, assures him of God's love, and points to his vocation, a vocation of preaching and healing and forgiving and suffering and even dying for the sake of others. And his baptismal vocation is vindicated in the resurrection. And since there is only one Lord, one faith and one baptism, this describes our baptism too. In other words, those of us who are baptized are called to live and serve like Jesus, even at the risk of great personal cost. For we are called to stand with so-called sinners and with those who cannot avoid the injustice of this world. We are pointed to kingdom alternatives, to the economics and politics of empire, the rapaciousness of capitalism, perhaps, and the violence of patriarchy, the devastating urge to build social cohesion through the use of human scapegoats, and everything else. And no matter what life throws at us, and there will be plenty, through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the enduring power of God's love, we are equipped to participate in Christ's own healing, liberating, and life-giving way. Every single day, every one of us is exposed to powerful forces which try to limit us, shape us, compel us to violence, or drive us to rivalry. Every single day, every one of us is told who we are by a multitude of voices, and fear and anxiety reign. But through water and the fire of the Holy Spirit, Christ baptizes us into his own body, washes us free of sin, and grants us a new, if dangerous, primary identity, citizens first and foremost of his kingdom and no other, participants first and foremost in his body and no other. Through baptism, we are reborn. We are reborn into the social order of God's kingdom, the economy of God's household, and the life of the church, which is Christ's own body. We are liberated from human oppression which seeks to control us, and the demonic powers which seek to destroy us. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered, and we are empowered to live freely and courageously, authentically, vulnerably, and in solidarity with the other sinners of this world. And we know that God's love will endure through everything, through celebration and suffering, through love and loss, through steadfastness, setbacks, friendship, betrayal, loneliness, death, and the shock and the joy of new life. In the words of our gathering song, in the water, in the word, in the promise, be assured, those who are baptized and believe shall be born again. And all are welcome to the waters, sinners, vipers, even tax collectors and soldiers. So let us all die to sin, and let us come extravagantly alive in him, in our baptism and in everything which flows from it. Let's make a splash in this world. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and God bless.